come back.
We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance first, and then we'll do the call.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Harkness?
Here.
Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Ogren?
Present.
And we have Commissioner Mazzoni out today, and Commissioner Valenzuela is on his way.
We can only hope. Okay, so first, number three on the agenda is the selection of a chair and a vice chair. We should do this quick before anybody else gets here. Do we have any nominations? Oh, too late.
Oh, you guys thought you were going to get out of it.
Well, we were just going to nominate you for chair.
No.
I would like to nominate Nancy Ogren to continue as chair.
Well, I'll go with that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Backfire. Let's go backfire.
Yeah, backfire.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Any nominations for vice chair?
Who is it currently?
I think it's...
Thank you, Laura, for starting.
Yes, right. I second that.
Yes.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, any opposed? Sweet silence. All right, well, that's a done deal. All right, item four is approval of minutes from October 8th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Do we have to do roll call, or can we just keep going the way we're going?
You just... All right,
all those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Those pass. And unscheduled appearances, please. Okay, time is allowed for information from the public to the local agency formation commission. No action will be taken on matters presented at this time. A maximum of 5 minutes will be allowed to each person wishing to speak. And I have a card from Angelina Cook.
I think she's... Are you talking on general or just on an agenda item?
General.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I am here this morning to request that LAFCO considers reactivating remote participation for LAFCO meetings. I know a lot of LAFCO communities are distant from WIREKA. I know that for my community in McLeod, there's a lot of interest in understanding what LAFCO does and how it could potentially assist our community in addressing unmet needs. And I think that having an option to call in, either just listening or commenting as well, would facilitate a higher level of trust and participation for LAFCO. So that is my request. And thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks. Moving on, item six, our conflict of interest declaration, and that is, I think, publicized, right? Item seven, presentation of documents. All items presented to LAFCO during the public hearing become a permanent part of the record, 12 copies. Of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. Availability of public records. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the Legislative body will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, California, 96097. At the time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body, all project documents are on file at the LAFCO office within Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, California, 96097, and available for public review. We do not have a public hearing, correct? Onward. We're going to skip down to new business. Agenda item 1, LAFCO Policy Handbook, and I'm going to turn this over to Haley.
Good morning, Haley Lang, LAFCO Executive Officer. So as you all know, we don't do too much within LAFCO, but recently we have either received some applications regarding an annexation, or we have received notice from other agencies that they're planning to submit an annexation or other type of LAFCO type of project. And so in order to be proactive and not reactive, staff has created essentially a policy handbook, and the intent of this policy handbook is to, you know, provide not only staff but members of the public and other agencies with guidelines and processes that are identified in the Cortese-Knox-Herdberg Act, which is the CKH Act, which guides LAFCO decision making. And so really, you know, the intent of this is to you know, have a document in order to provide people, hey, you know, these are the things that we look at when we process applications. These are things of importance. I will say this this policy handbook is in line with other North State LAFCOs. They're in very similar information and format. I'll be honest with you, most of the North State LAFCOs consulted out, so, you know, they have time to do all those fun things. And so, you know, I pretty much took this from, like, the MODOC LAFCO. So it's really streamlined and concise. There's not a lot of fluff in it. It really just has everything that we're required to do legally with the CKH Act in a more digestible format. And so that's the intent of bringing it forward today, you know, so we do have essentially some guidelines in place for, you know, when more applications come into place. And so we're not like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? So it's already all in there. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I did not have this as a public hearing today just because I wanted a more informal discussion in case you guys had a ton of edits or questions or something like that. But I do plan to bring this back in February as a public hearing. So we can hopefully adopt this. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Anybody? Is anybody?
This is so helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Nothing wrong. So it's everything that's already outlined. And again, it's everything that's in line with at least the North State LAFCOs.
I'm good with that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I, in between naps, perused it yesterday. And.
How frequently do you think you need to update this, or, you know, how, I just don't know the political landscape of
LAFCOs. Yeah, I think it'll be good for, you know, a few years, multiple years, if any. You
I can't even remember the last time we did that offhand.
Yeah.
If I did, it was years ago.
Yeah, and then even looking at other North State LAFCOs, you know, it doesn't look like they've done any updates to their guidelines to kind of when they have it posted and in place, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, so unless, you know, we see fit to update and modify it, obviously we can, but I don't foresee that really happening, to be honest with you.
It's nice to have this available for the public.
Yes.
It's one of those things you can take back to your people so that people can see it and read it. If there are questions, it's something that, you know, if it does come up when we have annexations, whatever's out there, whatever things, you know, are needed, it's really nice to have this on paper in, you know, in the public eye.
Exactly. And I will say, you know, Rachel and I, we're constantly looking at codes and regulations and all that fun stuff, and we all the time convene, we're like, this is so confusing, the LAFCO law. So, you know, just if anything, it just creates a more easily readable format for everybody to get on board with everything.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that for us.
Sure.
It's really nice to have. So with that, if there aren't any questions, we will wait for this to come back.
Yeah, I have one more sort of question, I guess. I mean, this is helpful in terms of guidelines and authorities and that sort of thing. I guess another potential resource that could be helpful is, like, what is modern, what's new, what's progressive in LAFCO world, you know? I just don't really know. how it's getting used, how these authorities are getting used in sort of relevant and innovative ways.
Right, and it really, you know, depends on kind of the development pressure that's occurring within any local jurisdiction. I'll talk about later under correspondence kind of what's happening at the state level, but in terms of, like, new legislation that's being passed, there's nothing transformative that, you know, since I've been on staff dealing with LAFCO that's really been occurring. I think the only thing on top of my head is they removed the identity agreement requirement. I mean, there's nothing in terms of process or standards or policies that's really happening at the state level. So it doesn't appear that anything, there's been a huge, you know, overhaul of legislation that's changed recently. It's kind of been status quo for a long time.
There was one policy, I think it was Dodd's, sort of the climate resilience districts. And I was curious whether that fell under LAFCO, and that's relatively new.
Yeah, we'll have to double check. You know, some districts are under LAFCO, some aren't. And so usually there's like authoritative responsibility when those groups are created. Like there's multiple different types of special districts, for example. We regulate some, we don't regulate them all. And so it's, you know, we'd have to look into that. So possibly.
Yeah, I just didn't know. I wanted to flag that.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Thank you, Haley. Moving on to agenda item number 2, the presentation regarding cap sharing agreements.
Yes, thank you, Haley Lang, Executive Officer. So I know I've briefly chatted about tax sharing agreements and wanting to bring forward a presentation item, really just for the Commission's information. Again, we're getting a lot of questions on the staff level about annexations, and so just kind of bringing everyone up to speed about what tax sharing agreements are. And why they're, you know, required in the LAFCO process. And so, just as a high level, pretty much any LAFCO project needs a tax sharing agreement. And so local agencies do them, conduct them in a variety of ways. But there's two main tax sharing agreements. There's a master tax sharing agreement, and there's an individual tax sharing agreement. So the individual tax sharing agreements are project specific, right? So every time an application comes in and that triggers staff to send out information to get the county and the city to do a tax sharing agreement, that's when that occurs. There's also a master tax sharing agreement, which is kind of an overarching agreement that has high level calculations. So it is intended to kind of streamline the process a little bit to give, you know, each agency, a start on those conversations. In addition, I also attached as part of the packet two examples of how counties figure that out for each other. So there's one, Imperial LAFCO. They conducted a study which included all of the cities, and they consulted Outwork to essentially create a master tax sharing study for all of the different calculations that are involved. And so the intent was that there was no master tax sharing agreement study, and so their intent was to kind of streamline that process, get it all done, so that the cities don't have to, one, go into individual tax sharing agreements, and then all the calculations are done, right? So you're really just having that conversation. Additionally, it looks like Mono County, they have an ad hoc committee that's more geared towards individual projects. So, you know, if they have a project, for example, in the town of Mammoth Lakes, the supervisors and other groups, staff, you know, are involved in that discussion. And so I just wanted to, you know, create a staff report to bring everyone up to speed on why they're needed, because again, I do foresee us getting some more annexation applications in the near future, and so really this is just to put on record the types of tax sharing agreements that are out there, and then just for discussion in case the commission is interested in, for example, you know, procuring a master tax sharing agreement study that may be of use to us, it may be not. So I just wanted to put that out there, but happy to answer any questions.
So we don't have a master sharing tax agreement currently?
So we do.
Okay.
And I did attach it, and I think the CAO created that. And so that's also one thing, too. We could just kind of wait and see how that tax sharing agreement goes with other projects, if it helps streamline that or not. The unfortunate thing with the property tax negotiation piece, LAFCO staff isn't involved in it, but it also creates a shot clock, essentially, with that process. You have, like, up to 90 days, I think, to negotiate, and then if not, there's like additional legal, you know, due process steps that occur. So,
But LAFCO isn't involved in that, correct?
Correct. We're not involved in the negotiation piece, but it's odd because it's something that we're involved in terms of processing. We're supposed to tee up all the information for, you know, the respective county and city to start that discussion, and then, you know, we get updates along the way of where, you know, that project is at in the process, and then we can't really do anything until that's done. So, you know, and I think this is common in most counties. It's probably, you know, a stop block for a lot of projects just because it's, you know, a timely process.
How helpful would the master tax agreement study be to informing the process?
Yeah, so, you know, my opinion, I think very helpful. I think it would, you know, incredibly streamline the process for all of the cities, and it would streamline the negotiation process. So it's like, yep, here's the study, here's the numbers, you guys go have your discussion. And then they have something to base off of where they don't have to procure an individual study every single individual project, which that's probably likely what would happen if there's not an agreement that can't be made. Then this pretty much already has to happen, right? So it looks like that, you know, Imperial LAFCO did that, again, to be, you know, proactive to have that done. So, you know, resources aren't spent every single individual process, essentially trying to, you know, conduct that study anyways.
With the master study, who pays for that, and how often does it have to be done depending on the project?
Right, you know, I would say it would have to be redone anytime, for example, like the general fund is like significantly changed or something like that. So for example, Imperial, it looks like that's the one that was conducted a few years ago, 2022, and they haven't updated that. So I would assume if nothing majorly changes with the financials, I think you would probably be good to keep it. And in terms of payment, it looked like, at least for the Imperial LAFCO example, it looks like LAFCO plus the county went in on the study in terms of procuring it. And, you know, in terms of our LAFCO budget, we do have a small amount that the cities pay into, you know, so that's something that they probably also utilize to procure the study as well. So it could be a part of a larger discussion, right, seeing if the county would be interested, seeing if the cities would be interested in us looking into it, if anything.
So the county sent out basically a policy statement of where we are with, would this take the place of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think really, you know, it would be used in tandem.
Okay.
So for example, you know, we have that master tax rate agreement in place that's high level in terms of guidelines. This is where we'd like to be, right? And then this would further supplement and inform those parties that are involved in that, and then they wouldn't have to do essentially all the legwork and calculations that is necessary for some projects.
So we don't have a back of the envelope what it would cost to get that done?
Mm-mm. No, I can look into that.
It would be nice to
okay.
know.
Yeah, I think that would be a factor.
Okay.
And you know, the county is the biggest funder for LAFCO.
Correct.
So I don't have a problem being on the forefront of that type of thing.
Okay.
And you know, if it's good, if it would pay us dividends,
Okay.
Just what we're going through with the city of Wairika,
well, like,
just try to streamline just to make it smoother.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's not helping inside.
Correct. And I don't want us to be in that situation
right.
with other projects. So it would, you know, take hopefully some of that heat off.
Mm-hmm. I think the other piece of information that would be helpful is, you know, the timing of,
okay.
you know, that, you know, and just thinking about staff capacity and everything else you've got going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't seem like there's urgency to this, but, you know, we're interested and
sure.
Which is probably
sure
the best time when there is no urgency.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I'll look into timing to see how long this would, you know, take to be complete, as well as maybe some costs. I'll reach out to some consultants and then Imperial LAFCO to see what the cost associated with that was.
That'd be helpful. Thank
okay.
you.
Sure.
Thanks for the report.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Any other items for discussion or direction? Nothing. And item four, miscellaneous future meetings. We have February 11th at 9 a.m. And get that on everybody's calendar, and we'll have that hearing on the policy handbook.
Yes.
And moving on to correspondence.
Yes. So, Haley Lang, executive officer, just to add. So, for lack of a better term, there's some drama happening at the state LAFCO level. And yeah. So, Rachel and I are part of an email listserv. And so, we've been, you know, kept up to speed of what's happening. So, the state LAFCO commission, how I understand it, is comprised of local LAFCO commissioners that, you know, sit on the state board, and there's an executive officer and an executive director in place. And the intent of the state LAFCO is to, you know, essentially lobbying interest, legislation interest, as well as to, you know, foster coordination and collaboration amongst other LAFCOs. And so there has been some distaste on what's going on at the state level from a lot of the county LAFCOs. One, they don't feel like the board or the commission is transparent anymore. Apparently there's been removal of like a legislative committee, a policy committee, an executive committee, and those committees help inform, you know, the state meeting process, as well as some distaste around the executive director. And so why I'm just bringing you up to speed on this is that the big LAFCOs, so like Orange County, LA, San Diego, Ventura, they are pulling out their membership, you know, coming this fiscal year, beginning of the, you know, next fiscal year. And so how this may affect us, if you have the big players removing their membership dues, then I would assume potentially that cost might get pushed on to the other LAFCOs that are still paying the membership dues. Our membership due is really small. It's like $1,800 or something like that. But, you know, assuming that, you know, the bigger counties remove their membership, it might be passed on to us. And so just keeping you guys in the loop, we'll keep watching to see what happens, if anything, because that might be brought up for discussion at a later time should something like that happen.
What are the benefits to being part of this?
I guess just being able to collaborate more closely and more directly with the other LAFCOs. Truly, we're not, you know, this isn't our day job. So I don't, you know, we haven't really utilized.
They have a website that I've utilized, especially when I first started. It has a lot of guidance and a lot of information that's, it was helpful for me and it still is, but I don't know that we utilize it to its full,
right?
Just because we don't have very much happening in our county.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I thought it, I just assumed it was a requirement, one of those, you know, that all the counties had to pay into to support. I didn't know if there was a, you know, it was voluntary or an option, to be honest with you. So,
well,
yeah.
Having said that, I mean, a county doesn't have to be a member of CSAC or RCRC, you know, it's a dues membership type
right.
thing. You know, I do think there's benefits to the extent that you want to be a participant. I
yeah.
know I have some of my rural peers that go to the annual LAFCO meeting, and
mm-hmm.
so I think there's networking, you know, like what's going on. I do think in the bigger scheme of things, you know, 1800 is a lot of money, but small amount in
right.
the big players, the LAs, they're the big.
Well, they're the big funders of the state
big
LAFCO,
fund, right,
so that's.
Right. So I don't know if it's just posturing, you know, behind the scenes.
Sure.
Maybe I would. The next time I go, I'm trying to do some inquiring with my
okay.
CSAC peers type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the overall, it makes sense to be a member of
mm-hmm.
it because they're going to do the heavy lobbying, the lifting.
Yes.
Forefront of what's coming down the pipe, legislative-wise, those kind of things that
yes.
we probably don't have, we will never have the staff time to do.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
So they did have a meeting, an in-person meeting, I think it was on Thursday. And
yes, and that was a disaster.
That ended up not going so well. There was there were a lot of people that had flown in or traveled long distances for the meeting, and then the board went into closed session and didn't get out until after the meeting was supposed to end. So all these people had already left because their flights Overleaving.
Yeah.
So they traveled all that way, were not able to speak at all, and they were very not happy.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it's going in a good direction for Calafco right now, based off of just that meeting on Thursday.
Uh-huh. And I think even more LAFCOs are now considering pulling out. So,
yeah.
And I don't, and you know, maybe it's just due to the executive director.
Maybe there's a reorganization that will happen.
Well, usually that's what drives it. You know, CSEC went through that years ago.
Yeah.
I just remember that there was
chaos
behind the scenes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a way of self-correcting. I mean, LAFCO, particularly for the bigger urban counties, is a big thing.
Maybe.
And they need that. Otherwise, they're all on their own. And then
And then there's no way to deal with the legislature.
You know, I would say this, you know, pass the popcorn. We could just sit and watch the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
When do dues come up again?
Fiscal year, so we'll get the
July.
June.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of reevaluate at that point, kind of see what's coming
again,
up.
Again, just to keep you guys in the loop of what's happening at the state.
Sit back and watch.
I'm definitely supportive of staying engaged, involved, and remaining a member. I would imagine, like Supervisor Ogren said, you know, they'd be some reorganization before there'd really be, you know, some passing of the dues.
Yeah.
You know, increases onto the other members.
Yeah.
Well, my other question is, if you're not a member, does that eliminate you from being able to look at the website?
You do have to log in for a lot of things.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we wouldn't be able to, like, directly look at all the board videos and agendas and things like that, and other guidance documents.
Well, I would also look to staff to see, is this really have value that we want to still stay involved? I mean,
yeah, so it's been interesting. You know, we get annoyed with that email lister because we'll get, you know, 30, 40, 50 emails sometimes of folks just chatting, and so it doesn't really feel useful, but apparently, you know, talking to other executive officers in the past, it was a way more, you know, transformative, collaborative group where they had regional meetings and got a lot of stuff done that way. And I don't know, it could be changing of staff or policies or whatever, but it seems, you know, more that the locals are kind of on their own in terms of LAFCO, unless, of course, you're part of one of the bigger LAFCOs, but yeah.
All right. Thanks for the information. Sounds juicy.
Yeah, the emails are funny to read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other correspondence we need to be aware of? Alrighty. Moving on to staff comments.
I have no comments. Do you, Rachel?
No. I mean, we want to talk about the meeting room at all.
Oh, come on, you started it.
No, it's just this room, as you know, is no longer the Board of Supervisors room, and so some of the things that were previously here, like the computer for Zoom and actually the computer that controls the microphones, both of those are no longer here, so none of the microphones work anymore. Before, two of them worked. So we're lacking on some facility amenities that we used to have and we no longer have because they're no longer here.
Yeah, we kind of have to supply our own stuff now.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the director from CEO, so we will do so.
Understood.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're not too. Yeah, they didn't work anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, we had the one that was here that worked,
and the one there
worked,
right?
And then now none of them work.
Yes.
Can I throw in my two cents?
Yes, you can.
The microphones are handy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Planning Commission, we use Zoom, and if we do reinstate it for LAFCO, for people listening, not having microphones makes it hard for the public to hear.
Right.
And some commissioners, as well as some board members, as you know, speak very lowly and hardly even pick up on the tape recorder. So it'd be nice to have the microphones that worked. That's just my two cents.
Well, we hear you. We struggled with it before when none of these worked. So Understood. Okay, commission comments? Anybody? Going once, going twice. Okay, well, with that, we'll adjourn at 9:31. We're done.